website at mnhowlive.org to download the files. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation. And for those who wish to join us in saying the Serenity Prayer,
God,
grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
The courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine. Amen. I assume that I'm not alone here this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive overeaters at this meeting other than myself?
Oh yeah, a few of us here.
Yeah,
loud and clear. Awesome. Hear it. All right. Please use the meeting's chat. Okay, I think I'm unmuted here. Just learning the technical side of things. Please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual WeCare book and enter your first name, telephone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the How format. We will then add you to the WeCare book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read What is How? Do we have a reader for What is How?
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. Welcome.
Thank you. What is How? How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did How begin? How began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in How sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide. And I pass. Thank you.
Alrighty. Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly. Wonderful. Would someone please read The Only Requirement? I'm sorry, I didn't unmute myself. Would someone please read The Only Requirement?
Go ahead, Susan.
Okay, thank you. The Only Requirement. Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the How concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this evening by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings, anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms.
Thanks, Susan.
Thanks, Susan.
Thank you.
Would someone please read the how concept?
I have Catherine down.
Is Catherine available?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. Go ahead, Catherine.
I thought I was unmuted. Okay, Catherine, compulsive overeater. The how concept. The Overeaters Anonymous how meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of recovery and the 12 steps and 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifest on this meeting. Amen.
Thank you, Catherine.
Catherine?
Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Catherine, are you able to start and stop your video?
I will try.
Okay.
We'll try.
Okay. All right, we're going to carry on. Would someone please read? Did we just do reflections for the newcomer? Forgive me,
No, that's next.
That's next. Thank you. All right, would someone please read reflections for the newcomer?
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Tamara. Welcome.
Hey, Tamara.
Thank you. Reflections for the newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you've decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a disciplined program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there's a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If a newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. That's from the doctor's opinion in the Big Book, page 26, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor in all self-honesty must release all sponsees to continue his or her recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he or she does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is the most powerful restorative. That's from the family afterwards, the Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck, everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. And no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. Pass.
Thanks, Tamara.
Thank you, Tamara.
Wonderful. Okay, would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12? Do we have a reader? Okay.
Hey, Revital. I think if no one signed up, I can read this one.
Okay.
That's okay.
Sure.
So I'm Jane, compulsive reader.
Hi, Jane.
Hey, okay. Jane. Thank welcome. You.
Excerpt from step 2 of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, page 9 to 11. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where our eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We've stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We've also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled and our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday, quote, have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, then we would get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide, some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered. Yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find some comfort in excess food, long after it began to cause us misery. Pass.
Thank you,
Jane.
Thanks, Jane.
Thank you. Okay, wonderful. So would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, how it works?
Hi, Kelly, compulsive overeater.
Hey, Kelly. Welcome.
Hey, Kelly.
Hi. Chapter 5, how it works. Rarely have we seen a person who fails. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They're not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided, my computer just did weird things. Sorry, the whole page just jumped on me. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go, absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it's too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, as suggested as a program of recovery. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Kelly.
All right, would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
This is Judy G., grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of overeating is
Hi, known. Judy, welcome.
Hey, Judy, welcome.
Hello. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I pass.
Thank you.
Thanks, Judy.
Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
This is Nancy from South Carolina, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. Welcome.
Hey, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service center may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks, Nancy.
Okay, the tools of recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which help us recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used. So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that how sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be a timekeeper? Participants receive time prompts via chat. Have we got a timekeeper this evening?
Tamara is our timer.
Ah, thank you, Tamara. Service appreciated. Okay, so we have abstinence plan of eating. Do we have a sponsor available to read abstinence plan of eating?
We do. That would be me, and I'm having technical difficulties. Sorry, Revy Tell. Give me about 5 seconds. And oh, there it is.
And there you are.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Sorry for that delay. My name is Heather. I'm a grateful recovering overeater and food addict and OA House sponsor. And this is...
Hey, Heather. Welcome.
Yeah. Heather, welcome.
Honey, this is the plan of eating tool. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The HOW disciplines were designed for food-addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in HOW. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. 1, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or a dietitian. We discuss it with a sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. 2, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. Number three, we weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and a scale. And this is where I verbally describe what I do with my abstinence kit. And when I pseudo-volunteered here on the chat, I meant to run and get my kit, but I had technical issues. So I'm just going to verbally walk us through my abstinence kit. My scale is always on my kitchen counter. It's sitting behind me. There's lots of scales that you can get, mostly on Amazon and other places, but I love Amazon. Who doesn't? And there's lots of different colors. You can, there's a whole world out there of scales. And so I've got my scale. I have three scales. So I have three abstinence kits. I mainly use two. The one I use at home, I've got my scale on my kitchen counter next to a cutting board. On that cutting board, I have a cup and a spoon. So it's pretty systematic at this point. And I know some folks use the a spring-loaded scale. I've actually never used, well, I think I've used that before, but I don't remember it. But the digital scale is just so easy because the way I use it, I put my plate on the scale and I hit the tear button, T-A-R-E. So it's zeroed out, accounting for the plate, and then I add on my protein. And when it gets to 4.0, not 3.9, not 4.1, not 3.8, 4.0, I tear it again, T-A-R-E, and then add on the next portion, starches, and then the next portion, et cetera, until the plate is full and fully weighed and measured, and everything is 0.0. And then with liquids, some vegetables, oatmeal with the cups. I put the food in the cup and then take a knife and just boop, 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 scrape it across the top. So whatever's inside is mine. And then same thing with the real liquids like oils and vinegar and other condiments, the teaspoon or the tablespoon, pour it in. And I always, we pour over the sink because if you pour over the food, it could land on your food and then you need to call a sponsor and figure all that out. So pour over the sink and up to the fill line and then pour it over the food. And it's very simple. And it's, I like how a fellow described recently, the food just gets so quiet once you do that, because there's no more, should I eat this? Should I not eat that? Am I still hungry? I just don't know, all that monkey chatter, as we call it, of do I need more food? Did I not eat enough? It's done. It's written. It's done. 0.0. You just move on. And then the second abstinence kit that I have is in my purse. There's a little scale that you can also find on Amazon from Joshua & Joshua. It's about, here's my portable charger. It's about this big and you fold it out. It's a trifold. So you can carry it with you anywhere. I have a little makeup bag about that big that I keep my scale in. I have a portable measuring spoon that does a teaspoon, a tablespoon. It was a free gift from somewhere. I can't remember where I got it. It was given to me. And then I have a laminate card of my food plan and some phone numbers, all within a little makeup bag about this big in my purse. So that's always with me wherever I go. I do try to keep food in my car, namely V8s and or rice cakes. But I live in Houston and it's about 120 degrees outside. So things have melted in my car. So I'm not really keeping food in my car right now, but I do try to keep extra items in my purse like that. Again, just rice cakes or a V8, just to have on hand in case of an emergency. I do feel better having an extra actual meal in my car, but that's, again, that's not a smart option right now, but that is the goal. So those are how the abstinence kits work for me. So I'll continue with the list. Number four, we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight and once a week on maintenance. Number five, unless advised otherwise by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. Number six, we do not drink alcohol. Number seven, we do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed fifth or beyond on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HAL program. It is not the extra string bean that counts. It is the decision to take it. And this is where I'm going to share for 3 minutes on the tool of plan of eating abstinence. For a while now, I've heard this referred to as the step zero. Abstinence is step zero for us. And it really is true. You really can't, the key to abstinence is the steps, because this is a spiritual program. It really is. I didn't understand that when I first came in. I knew it wasn't about the food, but I didn't know what it was about. And but you can't go inward if you're still drunk and high on the physical substance, which for us is food. You can't. The brain is too haywired at that point. So when the food is down and quiet, you can do the deeper work that needs to be done to be free. And the plan of eating, I think of it as my honesty barometer, in that a couple things, that scale in particularly, if I can be honest about my food, I can be honest about anything. Because if I can lie about my food, then I can and I will lie about everything. So in abstinence, I've had good days. I've had bad days where I didn't know, like I just, all the emotions, I just felt so horrible. A couple times I thought I needed to go to the emergency room. And then a fellow said, no, Heather, you're feeling, you don't need to go to the emergency room. These are your feelings. So, but with those bad days, I didn't know if I was doing the right thing, but I was abstinent. So that's the only barometer I had on whether I was doing my higher power's will, whom I choose to call God, if I was doing his will or my will. So the scale told me whether or not, it's the only physical thing I have that tells me whether I'm staying within his boundaries for me versus doing my own thing. And I mean, I, like all of us, well, maybe not all of us, but I just lied. I didn't know how much of a liar I was until coming into this program, because it leaks into every area of life. And now that I'm saying all this out loud, I don't think it has maybe not that much to do with plan of eating and abstinence, but to me, it's all about honesty. And if I can lie about my food, I can and will lie about anything and everything, to you, to me, to anyone and everything. And I don't want to be a liar anymore. And that was my identity. I lied about everything. So plan of abstinence is honesty, and it's an honesty barometer. Anyway, I think with that, I'm out of time. And thank you for listening to the babble, everybody. So with that, I will pass.
Thanks, Heather.
Thanks, Heather.
Thanks, Heather.
Would a sponsor please read and pitch on sponsorship?
Yeah, this is Lewis. I'm powerless over food. Give me 2 seconds. I just have to load the reading here. Apologize. I wasn't prepared. Thank you for your patience. Sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels: physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first 3 steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls or be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HAL program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HAL concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. I would not be in this program if it wasn't for my sponsor. And I've been in program now for 12 years, and I've had a number of different sponsors. And the thing that's so important to me about sponsorship is that it drives accountability. And accountability to me is the fabric of we. I cannot be a part of we if I'm not accountable to we. So I get very much an experience of belonging with my sponsor. And every day I talk to my sponsor, I give her my food, I give her my writing, and I give her my gratitude list. I also read to her the service that I performed the previous day, and then my plan of action and the service that I'm planning to perform during that day itself. Because it's really important to be committed to someone in terms of how I am navigating service in my life. I also sponsor someone, and we go through the same process as well. And I know that my sponsor is sponsored as well. So there's a continuum of the sharing of recovery and accountability across these multiple layers. And there's tremendous stability in this process. And doing it over an extended period of time, I've gained sanity and stability. So I'm deeply grateful for this tool and profoundly grateful for my sponsor for everything that she's given me. My life is changed because of that relationship. So that's it for me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Lewis.
Thank you, Lewis.
Thanks, Lewis.
So for the sake of time, will all OA How and OA sponsors, will all How and OA sponsors please join me in sharing only the following. One, how long in OA and how? Two, how long abstinent in OA and how? Three, how much weight lost or gained? This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Sponsors are invited to share by starting your video and clicking the raise hand button on the participants panel or pressing star and 9 on your phone or just start your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and your audio will be unmuted. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. All right, and with that, we'll move through the line.
Mary?
Yes, this is Mary G., compulsive overeater in St. Paul. My abstinence date is November 1st, 2012. I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Kelly.
Hi, this is Kelly C. from Pennsylvania, compulsive overeater, and I have been in OA HAL since December 21st, 2019. It is also my abstinence date, and I have been relieved of 35 pounds, and I'm so grateful for all of you. Thank you.
Pamela.
Hi, I'm Pamela, compulsive overeater and food addict, 2-hour HAL sponsor. I came in on January 22nd, 2017, and recommitment date is June 15th. No, that wasn't 2017, it was 2016. And then my recommitment date is June 15th, 2017. It is my back-to-back abstinence. I do not share my weight loss or gain, but I am at maintenance. Thank you.
Nancy.
Nancy, we can't hear you. Could you unmute?
I think we have some problem with her audio, so. Tamara?
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been blessed with the gift of abstinence on April 3rd of 2017. I've been relieved of almost 100 pounds with over 75 pounds lost in the HAL program. And my recommitment date is December 1st of 2019, and I pass. Thank you.
Johnny.
Hi,
Hi, I'm Johnny. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came into the rooms of HOW on February 4th, 2018. My current abstinent date is May 15th, 2019. And during my time in HOW, I've released about 70 pounds. Grateful to be here.
Megan.
Hi, all. This is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm an OA House sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away between 85 and 90 pounds in program and I'm at maintenance. I pass.
Maureen.
Hi, everyone. I'm Maureen A. in Virginia, a compulsive overeater, and I joined traditional OA in March of 2019 and became sugar abstinent. Then I joined OA HOW in January of this year, became fully abstinent, and have released 52 pounds. And with that, I pass.
Jane.
Hi, I'm Jane, compulsive overeater and HOW sponsor. I came into traditional OA in 2010. And I came into the HOW program September 19th of 2019, and I have lost 14 pounds. And that's all I got. Thanks.
Karen, current.
Hey, I'm Karen, compulsive eater, food addict. I came to OA HOW in December of 2006. My back-to-back abstinence is March 9th, 2016. I'm maintaining 130-pound weight loss for the last 13 years, and I am a sponsor in the two-hour OA HOW format.
Heather.
Hi again, everyone. My name is still Heather. I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater and food addict. A two-hour OA HOW sponsor in this format, came into program in August of 2019. My latest recommitted back-to-back abstinence date is May 14th of 2020. I'm on maintenance, down 35 pounds from my top weight, up 30 pounds from my low weight. Pass.
Amanda.
Hi, I'm Amanda, compulsive overeater. I came to program originally in October of 2003. My current back-to-back abstinence date is May 5th of this year. I've released 36 pounds since returning and 101 for my top weight. Pass.
Christina.
Hey everyone, it's Christina. I am an OA HOW sponsor and I am a compulsive overeater. I'm maintaining about a 50-pound weight loss and my abstinence date is June 2017. I'm grateful to be here. Thanks.
Lewis.
How's it refit? My name is Lewis from Maryland. I came into OA HOW in March of 2006. My back-to-back abstinence date is January 3rd of last year. And by the grace of God, I released over 100 pounds in this program.
Marlena.
Hi, I'm Marlena, and I'm a sponsor in this two-hour HOW program. And I've been in OA actually over 40 years and in HOW about 4.5 years, and I'm down 55 pounds from my top weight.
Bryn.
Yeah, I'm Bryn, compulsive overeater from Wisconsin. I first entered the doors of OA HOW in March 2004 after being in traditional OA. The most recent abstinence date is October 2007. I previously gave, out of 554 pounds, I gave away 335 pounds, and I'm maintaining my weight at 220, 225 per my doctor's instruction. Pass.
Is there anyone else? Anyone on the phone can hit star six?
Howard.
Hi, Erlinda. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. It's Erlinda from Chicago, recovering food addict. I, compulsive reader, I am grateful to be here. I have lost 63 pounds. I've been in program since February 11, 2019, and I have no openings for now. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor in the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 34 years. I have 19 years and 2 months of abstinence in OAHO. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Hi, I'm Donna. I'm a compulsive overeater from Seattle, Washington. And I have been in and out of OA a few times and new to the HAL program. So I'm glad to be here and I'm really anxious to learn more. Thank you.
Anyone else? Reverend Mattel, you wanna go?
Sure, thank you, Howard. So I'm also a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revy Tam. I walked into the OA rooms, generally speaking, in December of 2004. I was introduced to the two-hour HAL format in May of 2017, where on May 23rd, 2017, I became abstinent. And by the grace of God and the power of this program, I continue to abstain from compulsive eating. And my body has released approximately 100 pounds. Really grateful for that. Thank you.
Nancy from Virginia.
Hi, this is Nancy from Virginia. I first walked into an OA face-to-face meeting March of 1998. My back-to-back is May 24th, 2002, and I'm about 65 pounds down from my top weight. Pass.
Rivatel, I think that is it.
Okay, thank you, Howard. Okay, Clay Feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal or mark her or him as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Okay, could we have a reader and someone, a sponsor, to read and pitch on anonymity, please?
Nancy, you need to unmute, please.
Oh.
Thank you.
Okay, sorry. Okay. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, telephone, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and competence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. Their disease has reactivated, and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is a part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear of being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. That this is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing when we're not told what we did wrong. We come into the OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We're escorted back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery, recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here. For many years, I heard those words at a face-to-face meeting when I first came in to OA How. Whom you see is here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here, and people say, here, here. And I'm still did that silently, even though I read that. Anonymity is so important. I've been very fortunate people haven't broken my anonymity within the program, so I'm really grateful for that. But I have heard stories where people have done that, and sometimes people leave because of that. They're so ashamed, or they're so angry, or whatever, and they don't want to come back. And there are things I say in the program I'd really rather you not tell other people. And that is true of other people as well. And we all want to feel safe and we want to grow. And knowing that I'm not going to be gossiped about in this program helps me grow and helps others to grow. And all at the public level, it's really important to anonymity. If I have a slip or my program doesn't work public level and I put myself up on a pedestal and say, hey, I'm Miss OA. And then I have a fall, you know, that's not a good thing. So I want to keep that at the personal level. I want to keep anonymity really in the organizational level and also at the personal level. And it also helps me keep to follow that in with other people in my life, my family and friends, by not gossiping, not revealing, keeping confidences. And I thought I used to do that, but when, you know, reflecting back on it, I didn't do as good a job as I thought I did. So anonymity is a really important concept. I pass.
Thank you. And we have telephone calls. Would a sponsor please read and pitch on telephone calls?
Hi, I'm Pamela, compulsive overeater and food addict.
Hi, Pamela.
Pamela, we have someone signed up.
Oh, I thought I signed up for it. Thank you.
Right. Let's try again. Telephone. Great. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard to handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors and as part of the surrender process is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out and extend the same help to others in how we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. I don't think my... So the telephone, well, of course, here we all are, we're on Zoom, so we're not on the telephone, but a lot of our meetings are on the phone. And, you know, the telephone really is an amazing little bit of technology that's enabled people who tend to be loners and isolate to connect. And, you know, I had a situation when I was younger where I was left alone at really young ages and my grandfather's wife would call to see if I was alone. And if then I told her I was alone over the phone, she would come get me and bring me over to be with my grandfather where I got sexually abused. So when I first did OA, I was more powerless over making a phone call than I was putting down the food. And I worked on that memory and I got so I was neutral. But in regular OA, I would like try to make calls to build up momentum for the hard times. And inevitably, when the hard times came, I didn't make calls. And how has been such a gift because the calls are required. So you just do them. And it's enabled me to kind of move through some of that. And it's gotten so that instead of just being neutral, calls are a positive thing. And so you know, and I've made wonderful connections with people, I'd say all over the world, mostly in this country. And some people, I only know their voices. Of course, here on this Zoom meeting, we get to see faces. But some people that I know, I love, that I only know their voices. And it's because I've had contact over the phone. So it's great. And then for those who don't know, if you're new, you know, there are apps now that make it easier, both WhatsApp and Telegram, that make it easier to connect with people. You know, there are days where I've made, there's days where I've made, you know, 20 calls to reach someone. Of course, then the next day, your calls just come in really easily. But with those apps, you can just say, hey, you know, oops, it's gotten late and I still need a couple of calls, and somebody else that's up will call you. And so it makes the phone calls a little easier and you meet new people. Thank you.
Thanks, Marlena.
Okay, now we have meetings. Would a sponsor please read and pitch on meetings?
That's me.
All right. Yep.
Compulsive overeater.
Hey, Pamela. Hi, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela.
Moment. Meetings. Meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service for the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. I actually attend two or three meetings of HOW meetings, either by phone or by Zoom. And I like the Zoom meetings because I can see who's here, and we can chat with each other, and that's to me is really neat. Meetings are where you can see, especially in the sponsor line, how this program works and that it is working. I'm so grateful that here in Sarasota, we had a face-to-face meeting, and I got to meet people and became friends with people in my community. And there's a Saturday morning OA meeting, and a lot of us would go to that meeting, and so I would see them a couple times a week, which was really nice. And I love the opportunity to identify and confirm, you know, my common problem with someone else. And that's really relieving to me. And I really enjoy going to meetings and being there early and chatting with somebody before the meeting. That's what that's what we're all about, you know, is we're a fellowship, is the basis of our meetings. And fellowship means that you begin to get to know each other. And, you know, like if I came into the meeting and I was kind of down, somebody would say, come on, let's go in a corner here and let's talk about it. Whereas in a Zoom meeting, you can't really do that. I think that's all I have for now. Thank you for letting me be part of this meeting.
Thanks, Pamela.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Pamela.
Okay, we have literature and writing. Would a sponsor please pitch? Read and pitch. Thank you.
Hey, Revital. It's Megan in Virginia. I'm going to take that one.
Hey, Megan.
Hey, Megan. Thank you.
Hey, y'all. Okay, tools 6 and 7, literature and writing. Literature. We study the textbook, Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book, to reinforce our program by substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism. We can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, and the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, referred to as the Brown Book, or the OA, excuse me, I just lost my spot, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions for today, for daily meditation, and Lifeline, our journal of recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are ever available tools that give us insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it, and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to writing our inventories and the list of people we have harmed, most of us found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is not often revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and to perhaps better discern any necessary action. So let me see, here's my big book. It is like literally in pieces. They fall apart really easy. So I actually bought another one, like a bound one, a hardcover, which is holding up better. But this one has all the highlights and the notes in it. So I just keep on piecing it back together when it falls apart on me. But on page 29 of the big book, and there is a solution, they're referring to the literature, and it said that in the following chapter, there appears an explanation of alcoholism as we understand it, and then a chapter to address the agnostic. And then it goes on to say, further on, there are clear-cut directions are given, showing how we recovered. These are followed by 42 personal experiences. So the book, the big book, contains these individual experiences of people and how the 12 steps have been worked in their life. And there's, as the big book put it, clear-cut directions on how to recover. And in the reading I just read, it talked about how this is the primary, the reading and the writing are the primary ways that we work the tools. It is how we look at things going on in our lives and maybe better discern what happened. And it really does work. It last weekend on Saturday, I had a series of things happen. And by the end of the day, I was one raw nerve. It was a really rough day. And I made a couple phone calls. I did talk to people. I prayed. I did all that. But the next morning when I got up and I read my reading for the day, which I'm reading out of a daily meditation book right now from AA, which I've really been enjoying. But I read that meditation and then I sat down, I started writing. And that putting pen to paper allowed me to write out what had gone on. And I was able to see how each one of my major triggers, my feeling of not being good enough, my feeling of my feelings of not belonging, my security, how all of these triggers had been kind of poked at by these individual things that had happened during the day. And it was so clear to me when I wrote why I was in the state I was in by that evening. And also helped me to better see what I needed to do that day to make sure that I
got back into fit spiritual condition, because for me, my number one priority every day has to be to stay in fit spiritual condition, because if I'm staying in fit spiritual condition, I can rely on God, who can do for me what I cannot do for myself. So the writing process, the reading and the writing process, helped me to be able to clarify what had gone on, see why I had fallen out of fit spiritual condition, and then to make a plan that I went over with my sponsor and got feedback on as to how to regain my footing and the solidity of my fit spiritual condition, which allows me to be abstinent for one more day. And I get to do it all again. So every single day. But I appreciate you guys letting me share and be of service today. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Megan.
Thank you, Megan.
Okay, and then we have service. Would someone please read and pitch on service?
Hi, everyone. It's Erlinda.
Hi, Erlinda.
Hey, Erlinda.
Okay. Hi. Service. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship, and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as the result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. I have to tell you, I love contributing and I love doing service, mostly outside of program. I have not kind of like dived into doing service here, but in the last couple weeks, something kind of really cool has been happening. I've been dealing with a lot of emotions coming up and new people coming back into my life. And I've been, mostly I've been hiding that I'm in OA, okay? And a couple, I actually shared it in the last couple of weeks with two different people, shared that I'm in the program and just like offering it, you know, just with no attachment. And, you know, I know it's not like service doesn't mean you have to go share with people. Service is a variety of different things. Like it said, you know, talking to a newcomer or, I don't know, helping run this meeting or doing service, like just even reading one of the tools. There's so many ways to contribute. And I just, what I've found is that when I'm actually sharing that authentic side of me, or I'm actually on the court, you know, helping out, doing service for the meeting, I find that I am more enriched. It's almost as if it takes my program to another level, like a more real level. And it helps me sustain the abstinence on a different level. And I guess I never really understood that, you know, I just was like, I don't want to, like, why do I have to? But now it's like, wait a minute, this gives me new dimensions and it gets me out of me, like out of my world and allows me to contribute to others. So it's just taken my abstinence to a whole new level to be able to contribute and share it to someone else and or provide service in any way I can when I can. So thank you so much for having me. And that's it. I'll pass.
Thank you.
Thanks, Erlinda.
Okay, well, all people doing service for OA at any level, please applaud or make noise for service.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, service.
Yay!
The Minnesota OA How live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line. And unmute your line or press *6 on your telephone keypad and introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. If you would like to receive phone calls, please give us your phone number, time zone, and best times to call. Is there anyone who's new to Is there anyone who is new to the meeting tonight?
Yes, I'm new. Maybe.
Would you like to introduce yourself so that we can welcome you?
Welcome.
Hey, Nancy. This is Nancy in South Carolina, and this is my first time on this meeting.
Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Nancy.
Hey, welcome. And I would love to leave my number. I'm on East Coast. My number is 803-467-8543. And I take calls from 9 in the morning till 6 at night. Thank you.
Welcome. Good to have you here.
Hi, this is Judy G. from Texas. And
Judy, welcome.
Hey, Judy, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here. This is the first time on this meeting. And I take calls. My number is 817-975-5085. And I take calls from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Wonderful. Good to have you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Cheryl. And I'm in Philadelphia. This is my first time at this meeting. And my phone number is 215-740-3042. And I'm available from 8:30 to 6. Thank you. And I'm fairly new to the program.
Oh, welcome, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Donna. I'm a compulsive overeater. I tried to unmute the video, but it didn't happen. But anyway, I'm really happy to be here. This is my first meeting with you. And instead of me telling you my phone number, I think I'm going to actually put it in the chat. Then I'll be on a written form and I'll actually put the times in too, because I'm in Pacific Standard Time. So thank you so much, you guys. This is a really great meeting. I really enjoy it. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. Thanks.
Welcome, Donna. We're glad you're here.
Welcome, Donna.
Yeah, glad you're here.
Go ahead, Johnny.
Hi, I'm Johnny. I'm a compulsive overeater, and it's my first time at this meeting. Grateful to be here. Hi. And my best times for phone calls are 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Central Time. I'm in Minnesota, and I'm a sponsor. My phone number is 651-353-4182, and my information is in the chat. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome, Johnny.
Welcome, Johnny.
Yeah.
Are there any other newcomers who'd like to introduce themselves and say hello?
Hi, I'm Deborah from Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Hey,
Deborah.
Welcome.
Welcome, Deborah.
Thank you.
Any other newcomers who would like to say hello, introduce themselves? Okay.
Yes, I'm new. I'm Joan.
Okay,
can you hear me?
Welcome.
Hey, Joan.
This is my first time at this meeting, and I'm a new sponsor. I'm on the East Coast and Eastern Standard Time, and I'd love calls.
Oh, welcome, Joan.
Welcome, Joan.
My telephone number is 561-683-5619.
Thank you, Joan. Welcome.
Thank you.
Are there any newcomers on the line in the room tonight? Okay, Joan, if you could press your video icon button to turn off the video now that you're done speaking.
I'm not sure I know how to do that.
Look for the camera at the bottom of the screen, the camera, the picture of a camera, and click on that. Okay, I think I can.
I'm not seeing it.
Okay, I'll do that for you, no problem. Thank you. Okay, any other newcomers who are here tonight and would like to introduce themselves?
Is there Abigail would like?
Would Abigail like to introduce herself?
Hi, my name is Abigail. I am
relapsing and coming back to program.
Hey, welcome back, Abigail.
Welcome home, Abigail.
Yeah.
Any other newcomers here tonight who would like to introduce themselves or people who are returning? Okay. I would like to invite and encourage all of those who introduce themselves tonight as newcomers or folks who are returning to please add your contact information in the chat line so that we may all be able to reach out to one another. Okay. And so welcome all. This meeting has ASL interpretation provided by state funding. We ask all deaf participants to please utilize the chat to let us know you are here. Please include the city and state in which you reside. You can also inform us by changing your username to capital A, capital S, capital L, underscore your name, underscore abbreviation of the state, underscore city. May we please have a treasurer's report? Do we have a treasurer's report tonight?
Okay. Yeah, hi, I'm Carl Silver Food. My name is Lewis.
Hi.
And I live out of state from Minnesota, so I'm still working out the logistics of me getting access to the bank account. So I'm working actively with Wells Fargo to get that done. And once I get that done, I'll be able to make a treasurer's report. So I apologize to the group, but it's a work in progress. And hopefully in the next week or two, I'll be able to tell the group where we are financially. So thank you for the opportunity to serve.
Thanks, Lewis.
Thanks, Lewis. Okay, our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, contribute to our service structure, refine the technology, and develop other live OA face-to-face groups and more. Please go to mnhowlive.org to donate. And it says here, please read one of the following, the promises, or we've got some bad news for you. So I think I'll go with the promises. Okay. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of usefulness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. And this is from the Big Book, pages 83 and 84. Are there any announcements tonight? Okay. And
hi there.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. And I just want to mention, hi there. We want to mention that we have, we've updated our website. Front page looks fairly similar, but we've done a lot of work on the recordings area. So it's much easier to navigate and to download and listen. So check it out, mnhowlive.org.
Thanks, Howard.
Thanks, Howard.
Any other announcements tonight? Okay. Literature and books. Newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the Virtual Intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At Howe meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the Howe program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. Okay, and it says the leader gives medallions. Okay, so do we have anyone celebrating 3 or more years of abstinence tonight. Okay. 2 years of abstinence? 1 year of abstinence? 9 months of abstinence? 6 months of abstinence? Do we have anyone celebrating, 90 days of abstinence? 60 days? 30 days?
I am. My name's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How many days are you celebrating today?
Actually, it's 7 weeks. I didn't count all the days, 7 weeks.
Okay,
so congratulations.
Congratulations. Would you like to have a medallion sent to you?
Oh, wow. That's nice. Okay.
All right. Why don't you include the length of abstinence that you're celebrating and your contact information, and someone will reach out to you and send you a medallion.
Oh, thank you. Chat. Well, I lost 18.5 pounds too.
Like physical recovery.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you.
Congratulations. Okay, is there anyone else who's celebrating 90 days or 60 days or 30 days of abstinence?
This is Nancy in South Carolina, and last Friday I had 30 days.
Yay!
Nancy.
Sounds like early recovery. Nancy, if you would like to receive a medallion, please add your information in the chat area, and we'll have someone, and include the amount of abstinence that you're celebrating, and we'll have someone send out a medallion for you if you'd like.
All right. I think I'm fine. Thank you, though.
All righty. Thank you. Anyone else celebrating abstinence tonight? Now we have a very important chip, and that is the desire chip. And that doesn't mean that you are necessarily promising any form of abstinence, but that you are willing and want to and are willing to do the work for. Just for today, you are interested in this recovery. If anyone would like a token of desire, it's a lovely piece to hang on to, just to carry something away. And it's a wonderful reminder of all that we are willing to work for, regardless of the hardship, we're willing to surrender into that. And it's only a reminder. Is anyone interested in a desire token?
I am. This is Donna A. from Seattle.
Okay, Donna. Good for you. Good for you. Let's cheer Donna.
Hey, Donna.
Donna, congratulations.
And it also
thank you so much.
Okay. Donna, if you would like to add your information and that you're asking for a desire token.
May I have one as well? This is Kay.
Hi, Kay.
Hi, Kay.
Congratulations, Kay.
Hey, Kay. Good job.
Hey, Kay. Okay.
What information should I add? My address or my email?
Yeah, if you would like to have a medallion mailed to you, then we would need your contact information. And what specifically, what type of medallion? So in your case, it's a token of desire.
Okay, thank you so much.
Is there anyone else who would like to claim their token of desire tonight because they have the desire to abstain from compulsive eating and have this recovery? Okay, thank you. We'll pause there. And step-ups. So we move on to step-ups tonight. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks a sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first 3 steps of program and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers and remember to drink your water, and remember that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups tonight? Do we have any step-ups tonight?
I'm Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Are you stepping up tonight?
I am.
Okay.
Yay. Congratulations, Kelly.
Great.
Woo-hoo. Wonderful.
Perfect. I am going to look for the step-up reading here. Okay, so do we have a sponsor to introduce Kelly, or am I think I'm going to be reading my leader part. Kelly, is there a sponsor with you here tonight?
No, I would just start it off, Rafatel.
Okay, terrific. All right, so before you have five mm-hmm. candles, truth, reality, surrender, acceptance, and knowledge. OA offers each of us a wonderful opportunity to develop and hasten an attitude change known as ego reduction. The use of these disciplines of weighing and measuring phone calls, reporting to sponsors, and attending meetings all combine to reinforce our growth in OA. Action is the magic word. Until we so humble ourselves through these acts, there is no evidence of our ego reduction or our surrender to anyone or anything outside ourselves. Each candle signifies a step toward arresting the progression of our disease. The first two represent truth and reality. Without these two qualities, we would not be recovering compulsive overeaters. Okay, and do we have the candles set up tonight?
Yep, I have candle one.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Hi, Kelly, congratulations.
Thank you.
Candle one, the candle of truth is the keynote of those who strive to stop the advancement of compulsive overeating. It is the unrelenting force that permits no double standard. Congratulations.
Thank you, Amanda.
Hi, Kelly. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Green. Hey. This is the candle of reality, and it is a new light. It opens the door to a new life. It holds a promise of new understanding. It offers a chance for personal renewal. It makes a statement that goes beyond fantasy, and it holds the dream of a better tomorrow. Without the light of reality, we are destined to remain in that sick, shadowy world of past mistakes and unrealistic dreams of false tomorrows. Congratulations again.
Thank you, Maureen. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
It helps if I unmute. Hey, Kelly, I'm Karen, food addict, and congratulations. So excited to share this. Candle three, this is the candle of surrender. In OA, surrender is the first and most important act necessary to launching you into other steps. Without the surrender of your food, your ego, and your will, all else is hopeless. When you surrender, you suspend such negative emotions as disbelief, grandiosity, and you open yourself up to the process of learning who you are and where you fit into the scheme of things. Congratulations.
Thank you, Karen.
Have candle number four.
Heidi, we're not hearing you.
Did we lose the fourth candle holder?
Kelly, why don't you go ahead and we'll...
You want me to... I should do four?
Oh, yeah, why don't you do four?
Okay. Yeah. Hi, Kelly. Okay, I'll do four. Kelly, congratulations. Candle four is the candle of acceptance. Without acceptance, you could not have come this far. Acceptance is seeing things the way they really are. Acceptance is understanding that we have spent our lives denouncing everything, and now we must open up our hearts as well as our minds and accept. We must accept the will of God, accept that only He can restore us to sanity. And congratulations.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you.
Five.
Maureen, could you read five?
Certainly, I'd be happy to. This is candle five. The candle of knowledge, and it opens the door wide. We now know that God is on our side. We can see and hear His pronouncements in our lives. We recognize what it is that we may do and what only He can do. We acknowledge that the greatest gift He has given us is knowing ourselves. Congratulations again.
Thank you, Maureen.
Congratulations. Even the newest of newcomers finds undreamed rewards as he tries to help his brother alcoholic, the one who is even blinder than he. This is indeed the kind of giving that actually demands nothing. He does not expect his brother sufferer to pay him or even to love him. And then he discovers that by the divine paradox of this kind of giving, he has found his own reward, whether his brother has yet received anything or not. His own character may still be gravely defective, but somehow he knows that God has enabled him to make a mighty beginning, and he senses that he stands at the edge of new mysteries, joys, and experiences of which he had never even dreamed. Practically every AA member declares that no satisfaction has been deeper and no joy greater than a 12-step job well done. To watch the eyes of men and women with wonder as they move from darkness into light, to see their lives quickly fill with new purpose and meaning, to see whole families reassembled, to see the alcoholic outcast received back into his community in full citizenship, and above all, to watch these people awaken to the presence of a loving God in their lives. These things are the substance of what we receive as we carry the message to the next alcoholic. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly. Yay.
Yay,
Kelly.
Yay. Congratulations, Kelly.
Congratulations, Kelly. Good job.
Thank you, everybody.
Awesome. Okay. Anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence, according to the OA Group Handbook, page 10. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for the anniversary reading. Are there any anniversaries tonight? Okay, we'll assume there are no anniversaries tonight. Attendees may sign up to celebrate your step-ups or anniversaries via the link on our website. Okay, it is now time for the leader to qualify for 10 minutes. I guess that means I share. Just want to check in with the timekeeper. How are we doing? Shall I go with 10 minutes max, or do we need to cut down on time a little bit?
Like 2 minutes.
Okay, so let's go for about 8 minutes or less. Okay.
No, for 2 minutes.
Oh, we have 2 minutes. All right. Yeah. In that case, let's zoom through. Haha. All right. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Rebbie Tal. What it was like is I had a terrible relationship with myself, with others, any sort of concept of a divine being beyond me. And when I did turn to what I thought I understood as God, I didn't make any connection to God doing anything in my life. I didn't think I was being punished for anything. I just didn't see how it was related to my life. I simply didn't make any connection. In other words, lots of control tactics. to survive. And they worked at the time because there was some trauma. So I ate to sedate. I learned to get my job really early. I lied about my age and got my own money as soon as I could and went shopping to compensate. Again, didn't make the connections, but I needed more and more as time went on to just get that high. And I, earlier today, I was just sharing, it's the equivalent of the drug addict with the needle in the vein. The needle didn't even come out. And it was just like, oh, that felt so good, right? It was a form of relief that in fact was causing a lot of pain and almost brought on the disease of diabetes. Eventually I was diagnosed with impaired glucose tolerance, and diabetes runs rampant and has taken lives of family members in my life. Thank God that all of that was arrested and remains under arrest. And that's something that I hope to never forget, one day at a time in my recovery. But what happened was I continued to overeat, to compulsively eat, and eventually I joined program, but still couldn't understand the concepts. Every sponsor that I had had a different sort of approach, different control tactics. It just wasn't working. And then I was introduced, after a lot of damage, I was introduced to 2-hour OA How. By then I had eaten so much that it was no longer keeping me normal. It was no longer giving me the energy and the relief. In fact, it was making me sick, but I couldn't be without it either. So my addiction evolved into something else, because I tried to put the food down through diet programs, but I wasn't working the rest of program. I didn't know how to live life on life's terms. I did not know how to inventory and turn things over to a power greater than me. And inquire as to how I may mend things in abstinence. My brain was just too foggy. So here I am today, by the grace of God and the power of this program, physical abstinence first, weight and measured food plan, protects my mind from wanting to manipulate my body, so long as I have that commitment to weight and measured food plan that is custom made for me. And then that puts that issue to rest. And what I'm learning is every time I crave or think about food in dangerous ways, something is eating away at me. And it's time to pick up the tools and skills and work with others to turn everything over to a power greater than myself by way of inventories and mending all that which went wrong. And so here I am, and this is a new lifestyle. It's a new way of reflective being in my 3-year young abstinence. And every single day I know that if I pick up the tools, I stand a chance at having one more day just for today. And I can't, mourn the past, and I can't fix the future. Thank you, Howard. And with that, I would like to introduce our guest speaker, who will now qualify for 20 minutes. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. This is Chaya. And I am a very grateful recovered I'm unmuted. Okay. I'm a very grateful compulsive overeater, recovered bulimic and restrictor. And I want to thank Howard so much for inviting me to speak. And I want to welcome you to my clawfice, which is my closet office, which was a COVID development when I needed a space to be able to work and just get away from my family, who I love very much, but there's a lot of them in this house. And so here I am. And I want to just again say thank you to Howard. I don't know if people realize what goes on behind the scenes here. It's amazing what goes on behind the scenes. And Howard, you put so much time and effort into making this meeting run, as well as all the other people. But I just want to especially thank you. So there's a picture of me when I think I was about 8 years old, and that you probably can see. Howard asked me if I had any pictures. And the truth is, thank God, I've been in Overeaters Anonymous almost totally consistently for over 33 years, 34 years, maybe 35. So I came in around 18, 19. And those are just some class pictures of me. You know, these are the pictures of me as a kid. And I was told I had a 2-year period, a 1.5-year period where I was in graduate school and I was busy and I was kind of pulling back from program, and my head was very full of a lot of thinking that is often alleviated from the work that we do in program. And that was just a few years ago. But ever since like 1987, I came into program, and I'm very, very grateful for that. So I was a compulsive overeater, you know, pretty much since I'm young. I know today from my profession how the brain works, and people are wired for certain predispositions of where their pleasure center lies. And that's why you just never know what addiction might turn up in a person, what they're going to go for. You know, I'm sure you can all relate, and welcome to the new people. Hopefully you'll relate to something. And we say, look for the similarities, not the differences. So hopefully something someone has said over the last hour and a half, or something that I say, will give you enough to want to come back. So for me, the pleasure center clearly was food. I mean, clearly was food, since I'm a very little girl. And I come from a family, I'm 53. So, you know, my grandmother's generation were girdle wearing, which I found out, by the way, Spanx is just another very nice way of calling, of saying girdle. Which I just never had to use, thank God. But I come from a girdle wearing diet, thin is everything family. A lot of women, kind of matriarch and domineering women. And there was a big focus on my weight. My father died when I was a baby. When I was six months old, my mother was 24 with a 4-year-old and me. And they fed me, you know, and that's what they did. I actually apparently was a vomiter as a baby. And that later came to save me, and then cause some extra problems as a teenager. I say save me because I think, you know, as human beings, we have a sense that that there is a way to feel more at ease. And so we will do what we can to make that happen, and often turn to things that are initially work okay, but then become a problem, right? So anything to excess is going to be a problem. And it's just broken for me, you know, the food thing. I hid food as a baby. I was put on my first diet in the 4th grade. I was always told, and I'm sure you can relate, if we were sitting in a non-virtual room, or if I could see everybody's picture, I'm sure I'd see heads nodding when I say what I heard is, you have such a pretty face, if you would just lose weight. And I heard that over and over and over again. Thank God I haven't heard that for a good 33 years, which I'm grateful for. So, you know, I was always on diets. I went on my first diet in the 4th grade. I did all the weigh and pays. I didn't realize that, you know, the food, sometimes they'll send, you can buy certain food, ice creams or whatever, and they'd come in a pack of 4. I didn't realize like 4 wasn't the serving. You know, so I'd have one and then I'd want another and another. And I couldn't understand why everybody else could move on and I was still thinking about the food. And this followed me through my life. I mean, I can clearly remember this as a young child. I can remember it as a teen. I got very into the diet mentality. I actually was at an OA meeting a couple of years ago, and this woman mentioned this doctor on Long Island, Dr. Gadimi. And I was like, I went to Dr. Gadimi when I was 13 years old. I went on, they gave us amino acids and put you into ketosis, which is now what all that keto stuff is about. And I started to lose weight. And so I was doing the losing weight and gaining weight. You look at me in early teenage years, and I actually was in a pretty normal body, but I was up and down and up and down, and I was also young to begin with. I skipped some grades and started school early. So there was a lot coming at me. I grew up in Brooklyn in the 70s and 80s and early 80s. And there was a lot of social stuff to face and deal with. And I had all the insecurity of, I see that now, just the insecurity of not feeling good enough, you name it, whatever it was. And that followed me. I got very into bulimia. That was a way to cope and keep my weight down, although it doesn't really work for very long. It's a big vicious cycle of binging and purging and, you know, diuretics and laxatives and all those things. You know, it's very interesting. I'm just thinking of this now. I remember I had a kidney infection because I was taking my mother's laxatives. And, you know, you get pretty dehydrated, and I ended up getting a bladder infection, a urine infection, and then it went to my kidneys, and I was almost hospitalized. I remember they had to give me like huge doses of Bactrim, and I was almost, I had terrible pain in my back. And thanks to this program, which I got into several years later, my health is pretty, thank God, excellent. I can say that because, this past February I was able to donate a kidney. And you can't donate a kidney unless you are, you know, healthy. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. And thin, you know, there were no weight issues. He said, you know, the surgeon, when they examined me to make sure that I was fit, they, you know, they give you every test you can imagine physically, mentally. I met with a social worker and a psychiatrist and a nephrologist, and I had a CAT scan and all these different things, and a surgeon and a social, everything. And he said to me, you know, you're an excellent candidate. We can predict, because you are, you know, 53, you've already had your children, you've been able to, you know, we can predict that you will, please God, have, you know, a good life expectancy and should be able to live a very healthy, normal life with one kidney. How do we know that? Because at 53, we're seeing the track record you have of how you live your life. You're thin, you're healthy, you exercise, you have a good mental, emotional outlook and mindset. And that we know that because you've been living this way, we can pretty much foresee you'll continue, as opposed to, let's say, a 20-year-old who's coming in here to donate. We have no idea how they're going to handle life when it starts to hit them, you know, the adulting thing. And so what a gift, you know, that I went from killing myself to being able to save someone's life. And that's a gift of the program. So, you know, I had a lot of the whole bulimia thing, and that was really hard. And I was in high school and college and, you know, dealing, there were so many bulimics in college. Now that I think of it, my roommates, I almost forget some stuff. My roommates, I think like 4 out of 5 of us had eating disorders. And, but thank God, fast forward, you know, it was just a diet cycle over and over and over and over and over again. It was the same thing over. I named the diet. I went on it. I tried so hard. I just wanted, and I couldn't understand why I couldn't stop from starting overeating or purging or restricting. And I couldn't stay stopped when I was in control. And it was only when I found the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous that I found out there's a physical allergy and a mental obsession. There's two things going on. And that really made a difference for me to realize that there are certain foods, let's say the chemicals, like the certain foods we know in how that we address sugar immediately, alcohol immediately, because it breaks down just like sugar. And that was really new to me. Now, when I came to OA in 1987, I think, or 86, 80, early 87. Yeah, early 87. I had no interest in giving up sugar. I had none. This is just around the time when OA gave up with, they didn't have food plans anymore, whatever. There was a lot going on. So abstinence wasn't so clear, which is why I have to say, for those of us that have made it to the how room, the 2-hour how room, it's such a gift because there's such clarity as to what we need to do. There's no guesswork. There's no guesswork, and there's no me telling other people what they can and cannot eat. That I love, because I'm going to fast forward. I'm just looking at the time. I actually started in just regular OA, and then I also got sober, because at the time there wasn't, and I realized that, you know, alcohol breaks down the same way, and So I got sober, which was great because I was able to take a lot from the AA rooms. You know, this is back in the late 80s, 90s. It wasn't as developed as it is now. And I learned a lot from AA, and I'm very grateful. I'm going to read a passage when I close on that from the big book. And then I ended up binging and purging at one point. And I went into treatment. I got myself into a treatment center that sent us to meetings, although they fed us lots of sugar, interestingly enough. But I moved down to LA and I went to the bulimic meetings. Let me tell you, I share this whenever I bring this up. It is not pretty. I'll tell you, we all look good on the outside. They were all movie stars. I could tell you movie stars, except it's an anonymous program, so I'm not going to tell you their names. But I know movie stars that look great and you think, oh, they've got glamour and fame, and they smell like vomit. Okay, because they were coming out of the bathroom vomiting. It's not glamorous. And I went to those meetings and I said, okay, God, you know what? I'm not going to throw up. I'm going to just trust gravity and digestion, which is what someone told me. And when you're ready, you'll take the weight off. I thought I needed to lose 10 pounds. I lost 40. And I was in a little bit of denial. And I eventually, that following December, I found the Los Angeles How meetings. This is before they were 2-hour How. It was just How, because they weren't phone meetings or anything. It was way before phones and internet and all that stuff. And I found those How meetings, and I am so grateful. And I was very, very involved in How, and I lost all my weight. And then I met my husband, which was very convenient. I met my husband 4 months after I lost my weight. And he's only seen me in program, thank God. Although that 1.5 years blip where I wasn't going to meetings, I was a little... definitely had a lot of obsession in my head about my body and my weight and everything, because I wasn't getting the spiritual remedy, which is what this all is. You see, we look like it's, we think it's a physical remedy. We put the food down, but that's actually just in order to get the real remedy, which is spiritual peace. Father Martin, a speaker, an AA big circuit speaker, he would say, someone said to him, I'm not understanding the spiritual part of the program. And Father Martin says, what other side is there? What other side is there? This is a spiritual program. Doesn't mean religious. I did not believe in God when I came to program. It creeped me out. I was this Jewish, culturally Jewish girl from Brooklyn, New York. And I didn't know anybody that talked about God. Maybe my Catholic friends who had like crosses on the walls, but we didn't talk about God. And I'm so grateful that that is the word that we use in my home all the time with my children. You know, I was able to do it differently. I was able to stop the cycle, thank God. So I've been in, and I moved after I was in How, and I moved to one state and I started meetings there. And then I moved to another country. I was in Israel for a year and I started How meetings there. And then I moved to New Jersey about 27 years ago. And I didn't start meetings in the neighborhood. And that's began my search of disciplined and structured approaches. And so for 26 years, I was searching for, and there's all different ones in OA, right? There's all different ones. And I'm so grateful that last June, a year and several months ago, I found my way back to 2-hour How, because I was struggling with volume. And I'm so grateful that my food goes on a scale, period, finish, end of story. I love that I don't tell anybody what to eat. That comes from a nutritionist that understands compulsive overeaters, that gets it, right? And that sponsorship in this program is so loving and supportive. And I'm so grateful for that. The biggest gift, listen, everything in my closet fits or falls off. I went through 5 abstinent pregnancies, lost all my weight after. Not perfect. No one is, by the way, just so you know, in case you're wondering. What we try to do is be honest. And I have, but the biggest gift, besides being in a normal body and being able to, you know, except for that 1.5 year period where I was very obsessed with my weight and myself, that's what happens when you don't work the steps on a daily basis, is you get obsessed with yourself and your in lots of ways. And I was able to, the biggest gift is a relationship with a higher power. Like I said, when I came to program, I had no, it creeped me out, but I did see that the people that were smiling, that were abstinent, that were in normal body sizes, the people in AA, they were happy, they were sober, they had productive lives. They talked about God and sponsorship in the steps. And so I knew enough to try to develop a relationship. And, you know, that we agnostics in the big book talks about that. All you need is a little interest, just curiosity. Is it possible that there is a God? And I'm so grateful to say it is the single most important thing in my life today without exception. I was able to go back to my religion, which and actually understand it and become very involved. And it's enriched my life tremendously. And the steps are a beautiful, it's in there anyway. It comes from there. It's like, it's just so authentic and it just works for me. I'm so grateful. The latest I'm so grateful for is a regular prayer meditation practice. Regular. Finally, I've tried for so many years to get into a regular one where it's every day where I plug my phone in every day. And I would never think to not plug my phone in because I need it to function. And now I have to tell you, if I don't pray and meditate in the morning, I meditate for 20 minutes and I pray, it takes me about 15 minutes. And I pray throughout the day as well, but I start my day this way. It's like running around what I equate to is like running around in your car with your gas tank that's on empty and you still try to make one more errand. Oh, I could just do one more errand, right? Meanwhile, all the anxiety, because you know that any second you may run out of gas, that's how it feels to me now if I don't pray and meditate in the morning. And I'm so grateful that, you know, I'm going to end with this. Let's see. This is in second edition of the Big Book, which is the Big Book I was introduced to. And, or maybe even the first edition, but I read this very early on. It's from the chapter, The Keys of the Kingdom, and I'll end with this. It says, AA or OA is not a plan of recovery for recovery that can be finished and done with. It is a way of life. And the challenge contained in its principles is great enough to keep any human being striving for as long as he lives or she lives. We do not, cannot outgrow this plan. As arrested alcoholics, compulsive overeaters, bulimics, restrictors, whatever, anorexics, we must have a program for living that allows for limitless expansion. Keeping one foot in front of the other is essential for maintaining our arrestment. Others may idle in a retrogressive groove without too much danger, but retrogression can spell death for us. However, this isn't as rough as it sounds, as we do become grateful for the necessity that makes us toe the line. For we find that we are more than compensated for a consistent effort by the countless dividends we receive. A complete change takes place in our approach to life. Where we used to run from responsibility, we find ourselves accepting it with gratitude that we can successfully shoulder it after a little bit of a tantrum, probably, for me at least. Instead of wanting to escape some perplexing problem, we experience a thrill of challenge and the opportunity it affords for another application of AA or OA how techniques, and we find ourselves tackling it with surprising vigor. The last, it says 15 years, I'll say the last 33 years of my life, 34 years, have been rich and meaningful. I have had my share of problems, heartaches, and disappointments, because that's life. But also, I have known a great deal of joy and a peace that is the handmaiden of an inner freedom. I have a wealth of friends, and with my program friends, an unusual quality of fellowship, for to these people I am truly related, first through mutual pain and despair, and later through mutual objectives and newfound faith and hope. And as the years go by, working together, sharing our experiences with one another, and also sharing a mutual trust, understanding, and love, without strings, without obligation, we acquire relationships that are unique and priceless. There is no more aloneness with that awful ache so deep in the heart of every compulsive overeater that nothing before could ever reach it. That ache is gone and never need return again. Now there is a sense of belonging, right, of being wanted and needed and loved in return for a bottle and a hangover and return for a box of cookies. We have been given the keys of the kingdom. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I'll put my phone number in the box.
Thanks, Haya.
Thank you, Haya.
The floor is now open for 3-minute pitches or sharing.
We don't have any time.
We don't. Okay. All right. In-house meetings. Okay. So I'm going to skip through that. I want to thank you for allowing me to be your speaker, your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Haya, who offered so much of herself. Thank you, Haya.
Thanks, Avital. Thanks, Kaya.
May we please have the reading of Just for Today.
Hi, this is Rena, compulsive overeater.
Okay. Hi, Rena. Welcome.
Thank you. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem all at once. It's right here. Sorry about that. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. I will be happy. Just for today, I'll be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said. Most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to this world, so the world will give to me. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks, Rena.
Okay, thank you. There we go. Okay, applause, applause. We would like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. And in closing, to those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join me to say the Serenity Prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Let's pray for those who are still suffering. God.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Night, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Appreciate it so much.
Thanks, Kaya. Thanks, Revital.
Thank you.
Thank you, y'all.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Revital and Kaya.
Thank you, Heidi.
Oh, you can hear me now. Yay. That was my other question.
Yeah, what happened there?
I don't know. I left the meeting and came back and it was fine. So,
okay. Well,
good. I was reading the candle. I even had a candle.
Oh, you were reading it.
Okay. Yeah, I saw you.
Yeah, I was.
I saw you look smooth.
So, I have the candle here.
Oh, there it is.
So anyway.
You're with us in spirit.
I think you may have gotten a call, Heidi. I think I've noticed that with some
Well, I
heard
you, I saw you say that and I replied, I did not get a call. So I'm not sure.
Oh, that's weird.
No. So I could hear everybody else, and sometimes this piece of my, if you can see it, this piece, my microphone, but it wasn't up, so I don't know. So I left the meeting and came back, and it was fine. So.
Okay. Well, very good.
Okay. Everyone, I wish you